بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا اللهم نور قلوبنا بعلمك واستعمل أبداننا لطاعتك ووفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل والفعل والنية والهدى إنك على كل شيء قدير يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح ما بعد. Yesterday we were discussing the hadith of the Sahaba coming back from Bahrain with the spoils, or rather the jizya. I explained some aspects about jizya as well. And now Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the excitement in the faces of the Sahaba, the Ansar, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I know what you've come here for." He didn't get upset at them. He did not get mad at them. But he explained to them that the khair and the goodness that they have today is not being affected by the lack of wealth, subhanAllah, but that the wealth itself, the abundance of it will cause problems. The abundance of it, right? We talked about that yesterday, the abundance of it. And we mentioned the fact that previous nations competed with one another until they were destroyed. And similarly, this ummah will compete with one another and it will get destroyed. So the idea of that, the heart, the money being kept in the pocket and not in the heart. SubhanAllah. So now we see how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Rasulullah had been informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that his people would become extremely wealthy. However, there would be competition and fighting for this wealth. And whenever money becomes general and common in society, every person desires more and more. The result of this is that every person will become diverted from the object of his life and will be engrossed in the objects of this world. Eventually, they are destroyed in this process. We see this daily with our own eyes. Wealthy people generally have no time to care about halal and haram, and no time even for the salah. Their only object is to get a better car, better home, better, more money, investments and properties. The actual object of wealth was to one's necessities could be fulfilled. But now what has happened, it becomes a hobby, a craze, like a drug that a person is chasing. Then a person becomes obsessed with it. This was the fear that the Prophet ﷺ had. Yesterday I was reading one hadith. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that those who have wealth, a lot of wealth, they will all be destroyed. Just like that. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam like this. Humul akhsarun. They're going to be destroyed. They're going to be destroyed. So Sahabi said, Abu Dharr sallallahu alayhi wa said, Ya Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah. who is going to be destroyed? Who is going to be destroyed? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those who have an abundance of wealth will be destroyed. Okay, then he said, "Illa man qala hadha hakadha wa hakadha wa hakadha," except for the one who's constantly giving. He's giving here, giving here, giving here. Continuously he is just spending it. Okay, he'll get saved. But besides that, those who have abundance of wealth will be what? Destroyed. So no one speaks like this. Yani subhanAllah. But this is something we have to constantly be reminding ourselves of, the fact that, like I gave you who remembers the example I gave of wealth yesterday? At the end, I gave it a certain type of medication. Remember? Right? Jazakallah khair. I said this is like chemo, right? So it's a poison. It is beneficial when applied by the right person to the right person at the right time in the right amount. They can be beneficial. Otherwise, it can be fatal. So similarly, this is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi was teaching his Sahaba. How beautifully the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained the point to the companions. He first smiled, pacifies them, and then advise them. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Many times we break the hearts of people when we try to correct them. How can water be poured into a glass once it's broken? A man breaks his wife's heart and then wants to feel love in there. Or a woman breaks her husband's heart and then wants to feel respect there. Therefore, first win over the hearts of one's spouses, children, students, etc. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, when any person becomes my student, my first worry is not his reformation. My first concern is that my love must enter his heart. Then he will accept whatever I say. So I was speaking to one of our a experienced therapist, and I was he was explaining that there are so many different methods of therapy, and the purpose of therapy is to change behavior. That's the purpose of therapy, is to change behavior. He said, you have many different types of therapy out there. Which one's best? Which one's most suited? They can have different opinions. They're all different strengths in each one of them. However, he said, the most successful therapy is not based on the method used or which type is used. It's rather, the most successful one will be in which the client, the patient, has built trust on the therapist. If that trust is built, Allahu Akbar, then whatever the therapeutic method they use, they'll be successful. And the trust is not built, then no matter what you use, it will not work. The goal is within 10 sessions to change behavior. But I really like this point. May Allah grant myself and all of us tawfiq to be on the receive, not only on the receiving end, but also on the giving end. Right? It's very important that when we want to change behavior, it's not about the style, it's about the relationship. Once a relationship is there, then everything will happen. I met a salesperson recently in this store trying to sell me a cell phone. Right? I was walking by the store, department store. But subhanAllah, really very, very powerful marketing skills. And I said, like, what do you, like, mashallah, you're really good at what you do. You're a great marketer. Then they asked me, what do I do? I said, I'm a teacher. So, I was a teacher too. I taught for many years. And then things didn't work out or something like that, you know, divorce, this, that, needed to get some extra income. So I was pretty sad. Why someone has all these teaching to go work selling cell phones, but that's the reality. So I said, subhanAllah, look at the connection between teaching and, I'm sure you're a successful teacher, and marketing. Because the purpose of a teacher is how to market the subject he's teaching. And to make the topic he's teaching interesting. And make the students fall in love with the class. That's a successful teacher. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was definitely a Nabiul Mu'allim. The Nabi who was the best teacher. Bu'ithtu mu'allima, I have been sent as a teacher. Allahu Akbar. حدثنا قتيبة بن سعيد قال حدثنا ليث بن يزيد بن أبي حبيب عن أبي الخير عن عقبة بن عامر أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج يوما فصلى على أهل أحد صلاته على الميت. Once the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم left from Medina and he performed the Salatul Janazah, the way he performs on a recently deceased person, that is the type of Salatul Janazah the Prophet ﷺ performed on the people of the dead of Uhud. ثم انصرف إلى المنبر. Then the Prophet ﷺ ascended the pulpit and said, إني فراتكم وأنا شهيد عليكم. I am your predecessor and I'm going to be a witness upon you on the Day of Judgment. يعني. وإني والله لأنظر إلى حوضي الآن. And I swear by Allah, I am now looking at my pond. At my pond, the Kawthar. وَإِنِّي قَدْ أُعْطِيتُ مَفَاتِحَ خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ. And I have been given the keys of the treasures of the earth. Or the keys of the earth. وَإِنِّي وَاللَّهِ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تُشْرِكُوا بَعْدِي. And by Allah, I'm not afraid that after me you will worship other than besides Allah. I'm not afraid after I die you will become mushrik. I'm not afraid about that. What am I afraid of? وَلَكِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تَنَافَسُوا فِيهَا. But I'm afraid that you all will start, and you all, the whole ummah, you will start competing for the pleasures of the world. You'll start competing. I'm not worried about shirk. I'm worried that you will start competing with one another for the pleasures of the world. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he offered the janazah salah. This is like a dua for the deceased. And when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I'm now looking at the pond, it means this is like a mukashafa, a kashf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the veils. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was able to see the Hawd al-Kawthar. This was one form of mi'raj. The physical form of mi'raj happened where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ascended the heavens and so forth. But then there's another form of mi'raj where Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is ascending to the hereafter, through this vision without having actually traveled. So it is possible for a person to have such visions. Allah can, it's not specific to prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can remove the veils for a person and they can see things. Umar radiallahu anhu, sahabi, he's giving the khutbah. And in the midst of his khutbah, he says, Ya Sariya al-Jabala al-Jabala. O Sariya, the mountain, right? And so at that time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sariya radiallahu anhu heard the Umar radiallahu anhu statement. He was hundreds of miles away in a battle. And when he heard the statement, Al-Jabal, Al-Jabal, he turned around to look at the mountain. And sure enough, the enemy was planning an ambush from the back. Umar radiallahu anhu is hundreds of kilometers away speaking like I'm speaking to you. Then what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the veil for hundreds of kilometers away and he saw the battlefield in front of him, live stream, everything. And he sees that they are so focused on looking ahead that the enemy is slowly creeping up from behind. So at that moment, Umar radiallahu anhu said, Oh Sariya, look at the mountain. Anyway, the expedition came to an end. This group of people came back. When they came back to Medina, after discussion, it became apparent that they actually were able to hear the voice of Umar radiallahu anhu. And their possibility of defeat, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed it into victory. So Umar radiallahu anhu, not being a prophet, being a companion, but because he was such a staunch follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's why Allah allowed what we call a karama, not a mu'jiza, called a karama. Allah allowed a miracle of the wali is called karama, a miracle of a prophet is called mu'jiza. Allah made it happen. So it is possible for a person to basically see things that are very far away. Allah can bring them close. Allama Busayri rahmatullah alayhi has beautifully stated, the mountains of Makkah Mukarramah could have been turned into gold for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one that had the most need for money was Rasulullah, since he needed to spread the whole deen in the whole world till the day of judgment, subhanallah. Right? However, there was none who remained as independent as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did in this world. وَكَيْفَ تَدْعُوا إِلَى الدُّنْيَا ضَرُورَةَ مَنْ لَوْلَاهُ لَمْ تَخْرُجِ الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْعَدَمِ. How could the one from whom the world was created run after the world? How could the one for whom the world was created run after the world? The world has been created for who? For us. How can we run after it? It is supposed to serve us. I'm not supposed to be going after the servant. The servant is supposed to come take care of me. The world is in need of him, not that he is in need of the world. So subhanallah, a lot of times when we start thinking about the dini project, let's do something good. You know, let's do some feed the poor in some area, build some houses for the poor. Huh? Let's teach some maktab, madrasa, etc. Our students, adults, a lot of times they want to come, mashallah, what do we do? And the first thing, where does this project of dini work, where does it start from, by? Fundraising, right? We have to first collect money. Not that I have to give. No. I have to collect from other people. Subhanallah, you are sitting aramsay, nicely giving everywhere, reading your Quran. Now you want to start something new. Okay. Then, as they say, put your money where your mouth is. First, you make sacrifice. Make huge sacrifice. And then you'll see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make things happen. And I mean it, my beloved fathers, brothers, mothers, sisters, masjid people, whoever you are listening. Understand this statement that he said, in order for dini work to happen, it is not contingent on the abundance of material things. We have beautiful masjid. This is in size small now compared to what we have in America. So many big masjids. All these masjids put together, including Masjid al-Nabawi where it stands today, Masjid al-Haram where it stands today, 4.5 million people, 5 million people praying. Can it equal to the khair and the goodness that came out of the Prophet's masjid? That was a thatched roof. No windows, no doors, no lanterns. No lanterns. Dark. After Maghrib, it's dark. Just sand is the carpet. And date palm trees is the roof. And date palm trunks are the pillars. That's all it is. The most makeshift thing you could imagine. But the whole world got lit up from there. Structures don't do us anything. We have to focus on the ruh and the spirit. What are you all and I am sitting here? What are we? We're not body. We're the ruh that's here. If the soul comes out, we're finished. A brother, I was speaking about someone in the last week, 2 weeks ago. I mentioned that one of our musallis here, he said, make dua for my uncle. He died. I said, how did he die? Allah yarhamu. He said he was eating dinner at home with his wife. Wife went in the kitchen to go grab a roti, a salt, I don't know, water. 45 seconds. She comes back, he's out. Gone. Dead. Just like that, man. In there a minute. He was completely fine. He was eating. She comes back and the soul passes out. So when I said this, a brother in the crowd, he said, you know what? This your story hit me. He said, my friend, his sister passed away just like this now, like last week or this week. And he showed me a video. His sister is some, you know, government official in Africa somewhere. Or someone was working with, and she was appreciating the efforts of the NGOs and the Muslims, humanitarian efforts happening in that West African country. MashaAllah, she's addressing everyone, thanking them. And I saw the video myself. He showed it to me. And Batkar, as she's speaking, she has an amazing smile, alhamdulillah. She has a smile, right there. And it doesn't collapse or like she actually died right then. Finished. The soul came out. So the name, as soon as I die or you die, whatever, we're not going to say, we lose our name. Your favorite t-shirt, your favorite jacket, your favorite ring, your favorite watch, all gone. We lose our name. Now we're called what? Janaza. The body. The corpse. No one uses that word, but yeah. The body. Please move the body. Please. You lose your name. What else have you got if you lost your name? What else have you got left now? So we are not what we seem to be. We are actually soul. When you say, I love someone, well, you don't love the body. You love the soul. When you say, you dislike someone, you're disliking the soul, not the body. So the idea is that similarly, the construction of infrastructure is the body. And the soul is what counts. What is the vision and mission of what you're trying to achieve? Is it rooted in proper principles or not? If that is the case, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things happen without means. I was telling our students today, they're asking, good question, that do you think that people are not donating as much as they used to before to projects because there's no long-term planning, there's no waqf, there's no endowment? Is that the case? First of all, I was just speaking to a representative from one of the largest charities that collects online for different organizations. You know, like you have GoFundMe, like type of stuff like that. One of the largest Muslim ones. Just now before Asr. And he's told me we're seeing a huge decrease in online, you know, funding and institutions also. The reports are coming in that this year, last year, you know, whatever, things are not going so well when it comes to giving. So but we understand that. I agree. Totally, that's how it is. But you have to understand what's the cause for that. We have not seen a decrease in the weddings and the fanciness and the flashiness of the cars. We have not seen a decrease in the number of over-the-top homes and over-the-top gadgets and over-the-top cars that our community is involved in, indulged in. We have not seen, I mean, just 6 years ago, if I were to tell you, I want to give you chai, it's going to cost you $6, what would you say? Huh? Kya? Kisse baniye bhai? What have you made it out of? What are you talking about? $6 chai? $7 chai? But now that's the norm. Right? And you get one small piece of cake, you're looking at walking out of the door out of $12, $13. Isn't that the case? Is that what it is, brothers? Y'all wouldn't know because never went. But that's how it is. One cup of chai, one cup of coffee, $6, $7 with a piece of cake, another $4, $5. Endless. There's no space to sit. You have to wait in line to get a chair. So the money is just flowing. But where is it going? That's the question. If a person thinks that, no, it's a downturn of economy, people are not giving, no. This is not, it is not called donor fatigue. You heard of the word donor fatigue, boy? Donor fatigue? You heard this word? You heard?
a thought came to mind. I said, this is not called donor fatigue. This is called iman fatigue. Donor fatigue is wrong. There's no such thing as donor fatigue. Can you imagine? If anyone should have been fatigued, it would have been Abu Bakr, Siddiq. Ya Rasulullah, I left Allah and His Rasul at my home. I got nothing left. Who find me one guy in this entire 6 billion people who's done like this, Abu Bakr Siddiq. Can you see anywhere Abu Bakr says, Ya Rasulullah, really, come on. You really want me to give again? Are you really asking? I got nothing at home. That is how the people who give, they're like this. And then they would borrow. The Sahaba would borrow to give. Sahaba would what? Borrow to give. Even Rasulullah did that. Nabi alayhi salam, you know, he was always just generous. If someone needs money, bismillah. Taksibul ma'doom. Khadija Alana praises the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, don't worry. Wahi's coming to you. Whatever is your experience with Jibreel alayhi salam, don't worry. You're an amazing person. Why would Allah do anything to you but be nice to you? So she praises Khadija. Khadija praises the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she mentions, وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومَ. Ya Rasulullah, you go earn money to provide for the one who does not have. Anyone is, you're sitting here. Do you have any money? No. Tayyib, you wait, come back to me after Maghrib. Let me go earn some money and give. Can you ever think about that? That you're actually going to work to pay off, to pay somebody, to help somebody. So when we say donor fatigue, this is for Muslims, this word doesn't exist. It's like tarawih salah fatigue, and ibadah fatigue, and fasting fatigue, and Quran reading fatigue. You say stuff like that? We never say that. Someone is reading one khatm of Quran a day. I was telling our brothers in the 7 day khatam, today is 7 day khatam in Shalimar. Did he announce it? He announced it, right? 10 o'clock or so. I said, listen, 7 day khatam does not mean you do 7 days and then after you don't do any tarawih anymore. The boys, mashallah, are young ulama. May Allah preserve them, protect them from all evil, and continue to open the doors of goodness for them. I said, after they finish the 7, guess what? They're going to be at it tomorrow. They're going to be starting the next 5 day khatam. 3-day khatam, 1-day khatam, 7-day khatam. They're not going to stop. Yeah, they're not going to have a crowd. They might do it with their friends or at home or wherever. But take a lesson and inspiration from the ones who are leading the prayer. That this is just one small milestone in the rest of the month. While also, what? Reading throughout the day. I just spoke to one young boy today. I said, how much are you reading Quran a day? Here, madrasa student, full time. From Fajr till, you know, from 8 a.m. to Dhuhr, and then the homework and this side. He said, I'm reading 24 juz a day. 24? Adza a day. So does he, that person, I'm fatigued. Brother, he says, alhamdulillah, I have yet to find one person who says, I pray too much tahajjud, I'm tired. Tahajjud, ibadah, dhikr, Quran, what does that give you? It gives you strength. The more you do it, the more you become stronger. And subhanAllah, it's an inspiration for us. My point is, those who give, they never use this word, donor fatigue. Yeah, then my own experience from years working in the Muslim community, the one who writes the big checks, the one who swipes the cards, I've never heard this word from them. Who says it? The ones who don't give. And they don't like the fact that they feel guilty when others are giving and they're not giving. So then they have to utilize some sort of word to make them feel not so bad. But let's take it easy. I said, masla usko nahi hai. The one who's giving, he's enjoying it. The one who's not giving, he feels uncomfortable. That some people are giving and I feel pressure. You know why you feel pressure? Because you're not giving. You don't have to give. Oh, I don't have all the money. Who said you have to give all the money? We're not telling you to you can compute Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Yeah, you can if you want to. But give the $5, the amount of the chai, just every single day, if all of us who are attending in any masjid, including Darussalam, if every single day we just gave the price of one chai, one tea, one latte, honestly, this whole community will change. 500 people coming for Taraweeh, if 500 people just give the equivalent of one tea that they purchase outside. That's all I'm asking. There will always be one, two individuals who, mashallah, 20% they say ride 80%. I think it's more than that now. I think it's like maybe 6%, 5% take care of 95% of the burden. But the rest of the 95 tikabite, why not $5? Why not $5? Why this level of stinginess? So these type of words are, today someone shared with me, you know, may aapko saaf, you know, I'm just a straight shooter, man. I don't mess around with this stuff. So he messaged me. He says, oh, subhanAllah, it's called Free the Taraweeh. Free the Taraweeh. We come to Taraweeh to pray, not to pay. He can't pinch a rabbi. I've already, the brother who set it up, I already, mashallah, told him everything I need to tell him. But I'm telling all of you, just in case you get this forwarded. I say, guess a nonsense. Well, subhanAllah, we came to Taraweeh to pray, not to pay. What deen is this that separates salah from zakah? Salah from sadaqah? This type of usage, what is it doing to the future generation? We're already so worried about our younger generation. Now you feed them these type of, you know, little statements. What is it going to do to the future? You and I, and our elder generation is going to die after building these masjids. Who's going to run it? If this is the type of stuff you say. All the non-for-profits, subhanAllah, you establish, and you're going. All the people who established all the, mashallah, humanitarian organizations, the elders, 50 years ago, they're going to go to the grave. Who is going to run? The idea of pitting giving with praying is so bad. And we have to deconstruct this idea. And inshallah, we'll have a dedicated session just on this. I've been wanting to speak on this and share, you know, some statements. I did speak about it on the first day of Taraweeh here, but, you know, not that many people were there. I want more people to listen to the ideas that this just came in today, and it hurt me. I'm like, you are crippling the future of the Muslim community. Not only that, you're crippling the akhirah of everyone. Because you're basically saying that salah is okay, but giving your zakah and sadaqah is a burden. Wallah, this is not the deen. This is some other stuff you've come up with. I don't know if this is some Buddhism, Baha'ism, what is this? This is not Islam, but Islam, you cannot separate these two. It's very enjoyable to listen to the melodious tone of the Qari Sahib leading Taraweeh. Because jeb se kuch nahi nikal raha na. Nafs ke khilaf kuch nahi hai. Jhoom rahe hai. Wah. 20, chalo wait, let's breathe Shabina. Let's do another 20 rakats. It's so enjoyable. $5 nikalo, it pinches. Take out $5, it hurts. So what is the deen? Deen is not about what makes you jhoomna. What makes you move from side to side. Mazaa raha hai, enjoying it. That's not deen. Deen is where it pinches. Yeah, that's it. That's what you need to do. $10 hurts you, then give the $10. $20 hurts you, give that. Do what you need to do and do what's against your nafs, not what's enjoyable. That's what the deen teaches us. So this whole section, you know, Fada'ilu Sadaqat, I've shared this book before. Please, you probably, the Urdu speaking brothers already have this at home. You get an English too, of course, translation of it. Fada'ilu Sadaqat of Sheikh Zakaria Kandalui. It will change your life. It will change your wife's life. It will change your kids' lives. Read it. Fada'il al-sadaqat. You will realize hum kitne paani mein, like honest to God, like where we stand today. This type of donor fatigue, Taraweeh hostage, ye sara aapko pata chalega, ye to kufri kalimat hai. I'm sorry. What I mean by that, what kufri kalimat? Meaning, of course, I'm not saying someone says that is a disbeliever, don't get me wrong. I mean, say, where is this going? This, the thought, where does this secular thought, when I mean kufri is secular, a believer doesn't speak like this. A believer doesn't speak like this. He understands that sadaqah, zakah, and giving is one of the most central parts of our deen. We cannot get akhirah, cannot get jannah, cannot get the pleasure of Allah without that. So a person should cry if I'm not giving every day. But if you cannot, if you give every day, if you cannot, then at least do tasbih and dhikr and salah, salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say, Ya Allah, remove bukhl from me, remove stinginess from me, and remove it from the entire crowd. That's it. The first thing, if you say sadaqah needs to stop, no. All the extra things that we have, all the extra, you know, leases that we have, loans that we have, insurances that we have, memberships that we have. If a person is going through a tough time, those are the first, all those things you can cut that. But sadaqah is something we cannot cut. One of the ulama, he mentioned, subhanAllah, kya baat ki yaar? He said to give zakat. Giving zakat is a sign of what? It sounds weird, right? Giving zakat is a sign of stinginess. What does that mean? Yes. MashaAllah, exactly. Did you hear this before? This is the correct. Yani subhanAllah, that what he meant to say, that the one who's giving zakat, why did zakat even become fard upon him? That means he has not given enough sadaqah. Well, a believer should be making money and giving money. So much production. taza chai, jiski dukan zyada chalti hai. Whoever whose store runs very well, he's always got fresh chicken, fresh chai, because it's being sold. That's how a believer should be. No stagnation in his bank account. Money is coming, money is going. He said the fact that we're giving zakat, this is perspective. That means there's too much there. That's why you're having to give zakat. Subhanallah. Look. But if we cannot be at that level, at least give our zakat. That's what I'm asking. Everyone calculate their zakat properly for every past year and this year. Just give 100% of it. That's the basic. And we're not doing a favor on anybody. And after that, small amount, $100, $5, you can just sign up for $5 a day. We have already 7 days gone, Ramadan. Yeah? Or how many days? 6 days gone. From tonight, let's start up. Just sign up to wherever. $5 a night, $10 a night, based on your ability. And we don't know which night Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it. Just automate it. Or go get cash from the bank, you know, small bills. And mashallah, based on your istidad, if 20 is your ability to give every day, mashallah. If your 50 is your ability, 10 is your ability, dollar is your ability, no problem. My beloved fathers, brothers, sisters, daughters of the ummah, but just give. Give every day, give somewhere. This is the only way we can be able to properly get rid of this attachment that we have to this world, is by proving it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, I'm going to give in your name and I'm not going to hoard. So this is the section where we're talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He explained to his sahaba his fear that what will happen afterwards, that people will, I'm not worried about you committing shirk, I'm worried about you competing with one another in the dunya, in material things. The sahaba were people who would compete with one another in giving. May Allah make our masjid and all of our masajid and all of our musalli such who compete with one another in the matters of akhirah only. And in the matters of dunya are absolutely do not look at one another. Who cares who's got what home? Who cares who got what car? Let me see how much are we giving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah create this spirit of competition within us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow sakha and generosity to fill our hearts and the hearts of our loved ones and our spouses and our kids. May Allah cure us all of the horrible diseases of stinginess and miserliness. Wa sallallahu ta'ala khayri khalqi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inshallah, please head downstairs and we'll begin our dua.